to see God. It's not that God can't hear you, but there are certain things that convey a message that this is very important to you. So you set a third time to fast. Fasting doesn't change God, because you know that God does not change. Your fasting doesn't change him at all, because nothing changes God. But it sends a message of a strong desire for God to do something for you, and which is a very good thing too. And then at this time, we set a time to pray, and then you really take it seriously and then seek God for it. That also sends a very strong message that you really desire this thing from God, that except God intervenes, you don't have any other place. You are looking forward to have some help. So it's very good that you do that. But what we don't recommend is doing it as a religion, as a payment, because we can't pay God for anything. The Bible says, freely you receive. So it's always free. But it can show somebody who is really, really seriously desiring for intervention of God in his life. So it would be wonderful if you take out time to fast as much as you can, depending on the job you do. Fasting is not something you do under stress. You just decide how much you can handle, so that you have time to pray, and so that you don't feel dizzy driving. You don't feel dizzy, and then you got to really make sure you are not dehydrated, and make sure that you are praying. That's the most important thing. So my fasting may not be God's fasting, because his type of job may not be my type of job. If you work in hospitals or something, it's better that you have something, so that you don't make mistake and put the needle where you shouldn't put it, because your eyes is going this way down. So I think we should be wise. The Bible says we must be wise in all of this. And so because we are praying and fasting, I want to talk a little bit about prayer. We need to pray successfully. What did I say? We need to pray successfully. And you do understand that we don't always pray successfully, but we don't even bother to find out why. That's one thing. We don't usually go back to God and say, Lord, this ought to work and this is not working. So we need to pray successfully, not only now, but that should be our benefit as Christians. So at this time that we are sitting aside to pray, it's important that you understand that if you do not pray in faith, it will produce nothing. If you do not pray in faith, it will what? Produce nothing. So you should be aware of this fact and make sure that your prayer is a prayer of faith. Not only for now, but every single time that you pray, make sure that it is a prayer of faith. And then when you are seeking God for something, a time of need and a time of seeking the Lord is a very vulnerable time. It's a very vulnerable time. Let me explain to you why. You see, when you are going to the bank to withdraw something that is important, large sums of money, it's a very vulnerable time, all right? Why? Because somebody else may be interested in it. Somebody else who is a thief might be interested in it. So if you are going to withdraw large sums of money, they usually will give you escort, because it's a vulnerable time. What we Christians do not understand is that it plays out also in the spiritual world. That when you want to seek God for something important to come, there's a thief that is also interested. We don't know that. You think that because you are fasting and praying that the devil is not going to show up. No, he's a thief. And every thief is waiting for when you are getting something valuable. Those are very vulnerable times. When there is need in your life and when you are really seeking God, you got to watch it, because there's a thief. The nature is to steal, to kill, to destroy, who naturally will be interested in the valuable thing that God is giving you. And so he understands his games. He knows how to take it from us And because we don't know that the Bible, when the Bible warns us that the Bible is serious, it says you must watch and be sober. Your enemy, the thief, is going around looking for whom? Yes, take it serious. Take it serious. And let me tell us the truth. Every single time, I want you to know this, every single time you are getting something valuable, he tries to scuttle it. Every single time God wants to use you for something important, he tries to scuttle it. If you remember that when Jesus was born, he tried to scuttle it. He tried to kill him. So if we're not aware of these things, we might really unwittingly, unknowingly allow ourselves to be plundered. Jesus said, if the good man knows the hour that the thief will come, he will what? He will prepare. He will prepare. For the fact that you're fasting and praying, it doesn't mean you are immune to invasion by Satan. That's a very vulnerable time that you must be careful. Must be very, very careful and watch. And seriously watch. And so he knows that the heart is the very key thing in our life. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. And why should you do that? For out of it are the issues of life. So all the issues of my life, all the issues of your life, they are coming from where? From our heart. Now, if a thief has, you know, people think that the devil is foolish. He's not. That's a huge mistake to make. That's a very huge, how can he be this successful if he's that foolish? But he knows the source of the things coming for you. He knows the source of the issues of my life. And guess what? Where do you think he will go? To that source. That's why he's focusing. Because he knows that if he can control that source, then he control what comes out of it. If only he can take hold of that source. I mean, the Bible says to us, keep your heart with all diligence. But we don't. We don't. We don't. So the target of the thief is the source. And then let's look at this thing that happened, a familiar scripture we know, John chapter 13, verse 2. John 13, 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having put into the heart of who? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, what did he put into his heart? To betray Jesus. Why the heart? Because the issues of life come from there. For that man to do that, it has to come from that. So he went after the heart and he put it into his heart. Can we really use some other word to understand what happened here? What does it mean, putting something into somebody's heart? Do we have any other language, any other way to describe it? He put something into his heart. What does it mean? Huh? Somebody said deposited. So, inspired. Any other word? Implanted. Any other word? There are a lot of words we can suggest it. Injected. Convinced. Distracted. Deceived. Yes, deceived. But to put something into your heart is to drop an idea. And let me make it clear here. You are not going to hear the devil say, do this. He will make you think you are the one thinking that. That's how deceitful he can be. He will make you think it's you thinking. But he's the one that dropped it in your heart. And before he can get to do something, he drops that idea. Then when you accept the idea, he moves in for the kill. That's his method. Now let me surprise you. Think about this one. If you can remember, most of the time you have sudden sicknesses, some thoughts of sickness come to your mind. Some thoughts of sickness come to your mind. I start thinking about it. All of a sudden the symptoms will. Has anybody experienced that? Yeah? You have experienced, yeah. It brings thought first. That's what it does. And then unconsciously you're even thinking about it. Because you don't guard your heart. Unconsciously, you think it as a harmless thought. You know, you're just thinking a harmless thought, roaming your mind upon that word has put in your heart. And then you begin to feel that, you know, sickness. Then he tells you, well, it is this. You say, maybe, yeah, that's it. And so in John 13:26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, and having dipped the bread, he gave it to who? Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Then what happened after that? Now, after the piece of bread, Satan now entered him. Then Jesus said to him, now, what to do? Do quickly, you can't stop now. You come to a point of no return. You can't stop now. And let me tell us the truth again. You may not remember because you didn't think it would happen. But before the enemy does something, he starts with the thought. He always starts with the thought. And then you give it, you start thinking about it, brooding. You start brooding over it. And that thought can create fear. Usually creates fear, confusion, doubt, anger, all manner of stuff. What somebody told you yesterday, he reminds you. You start brooding over it. He's just setting you up to motivate you. He's not going to possess you, but he will motivate your action. Because all the issues of life come from where? From the heart. Now he is the one motivating that heart through the thought he has sold out to us. And we buy into that. Have you not realized sometimes something somebody did to you last week, all of a sudden you're angry about it this week? Have you had that experience before? Because he comes and starts talking to you about it. And then you're there, but it's like a picture you relieve. And then you're like, but it was last week. Even if it was yesterday. Somebody is trying to inject something into your heart so that he can motivate you to evil thought and evil action. So when it comes to prayer, does the same thing. He does the same thing. When it comes to prayer, he wants to invade our heart to plant doubt and plant unbelief and make you not have any expectations at all. And focus you on your issue and tell you how that thing, man, this is terrible, and show you how impossible it is. He will talk to you about, you don't have to pray about it, it does happen. He will show up. I've told you, every time you are seeking something valuable, the thief is around the corner because he wants the same thing, he wants to steal it. I don't see any thief who goes to an empty warehouse. You just an empty warehouse, you see the thieves just banging, sweating and trying to open the door. They can't if they know the place is empty. But tell them there is diamond there. They will dig tunnel because something valuable is there. So when it comes to prayer, many Christians do not understand that the devil tries to scuttle their prayer. That he tries to steal their blessing. He tries to take it from them. He even wants to stop us from praying. So most times you want to pray, you begin to feel somehow. You feel so, what's the word now? You feel a little bit down. You feel so unlike wanting to. You really feel good. But the moment they flip on television, that feeling, you are so alert and you are laughing. And your wife, you say, ah, this one you are laughing. You say, come and see this one. Hey! Tell you, sometimes you want to pray, he drops into your heart some things that you need to do. So why don't you go and do so? So you think you are the one thinking. He's the one. Why don't you do so? Call this person. Remember you wanted to call him. He might be available now. And then you call the person and you people talk sweet nonsense for the next 30 minutes. Brethren, what I'm telling you is serious, and watch your life, it happens. You want to study the Bible, he will try to scuttle it. Do you know the story that goes around that if you read the Bible, you lose your mind? You haven't heard it before. I started hearing it when I was a kid. They said, don't read the Bible. If you read it, you go crazy. Do you know who started that story? It's the devil. Just to stop people from reading the Bible. Do you know it was so serious that in this country, doctors were telling people that? I heard it from somebody who said he was in hospital. And then the doctor came to see me. I said, what are you reading? I'm reading the Bible. He said, don't read a lot. You lose your mind. They say, it's only Reverend Fathers that read it. The rest of you don't read it. You know who is spreading that? The devil. Because he wants to discredit the Bible so nobody reads it. And you want to know that reading the Bible, studying the Bible, is one of the most difficult things for Christians. Many Christians don't study the Bible. A lot of Christians don't. A lot of Christians, their prayer is casual. The devil is God and where he was. For you to study the Bible, you have to fight it. You've got to make yourself study it. To pray, you have to make yourself what? Pray. Let me tell you the secret. You got to tell yourself, my friend, you are going to what? Pray. Sometimes you drag yourself by the ear and say, I'm dragging you to go and pray, my friend. Come sit down here and pray. You are not going to nowhere. You are not calling nobody. You are not doing that thing. Leave that thing. I'll buy it in ShopRite tomorrow, but you are praying right now. That's what Paul did. He said, I pommel my body and put it under control. I tell it what to do. He's not going to tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. So if you want to pray, tell yourself, my friend, you are going to what? Pray. I heard about one man said, if I want to fast, I just go to the calendar. I said, I'm fasting this day. And I turn around and I say, you, my friend, I won't give you food on these days, okay? I will feed you by six. No matter how, I know you will cry, but I won't feed you. That's how you deal with your body. Otherwise, your body will rule you. And the devil will see to that. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we need to understand this. So he doesn't want us to pray, and he targets our heart to inject unbelief. Because, let me repeat it again, no matter how flowery your prayer is, and no matter how beautiful it is, if it is not prayed in faith, you will get two ways about it. So he will target that faith and make sure you pray in doubt and pray in unbelief. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be healed, if the truth be hid now, it is hid in them, to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded Satan, who is the God of this world, has what? Blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So when there is doubt and unbelief, he blinds your mind. So you won't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the gospel, good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So he tries to blind the Christian. He tries to blind the Christian. He tries to hide the truth from us. Because when he hides the truth from us, we won't believe the truth. And we're going to pray in doubt and don't believe. That's what he does. Philippians 4:6. You will see how the scripture talks about our mind in relation to prayer. In Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard what? Your heart needs to be guarded. A mind through crisis has to be guarded. Because somebody's interested in it. It has to be guarded by the peace of God. Then verse 8 tells us how we cooperate with God to get this thing done. Finally, because the subject of this discourse is prayer. That's what it's talking about. So he said the peace of God will guard that your heart. Will guard it. But now he's telling us how to cooperate with God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue in it, if there is anything praiseworthy, not murmuring worthy, meditate on this thing. It's in line with prayer. So the peace of God will guard your heart, but you make sure that you guard your heart, that your heart does not stray from things that are true, things that are praiseworthy, things that have virtue in them. Make sure it doesn't stray. Praise the Lord. Now, if I focus on my problem, is that praiseworthy? Huh? If I focus on anything that is not from the Word of God, how is it virtue? How is it virtue? Genesis 3:6. See what he did to Eve. We can learn from that. Genesis verse chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw, who is this woman? Eve. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to what? To what? To make one wise. He took of its fruit and she also gave to her husband with her. Now the first thing was to refocus them. And the woman started looking at this thing and said, man, this is wow. Why didn't she see it before? Until the devil showed up. I'm telling us the truth of the matter. The Bible talks about strongholds of the devil. In imaginations. When you want to pray, he will try to refocus on your problem until you find that that problem can crush you. And how can go? In your mind, you are seeing a huge something. It's so bigger and bigger, everything. You focus you on that. You focus. And I don't know how he does that, but sometimes you hear all the bad news about that. In that moment, you begin to hear bad news from. If you open your television, you hear bad news about that. If it's sickness, you hear that he killed somebody. He will let you hear it. That he killed. And when you hear it, see, I told you. This thing kills. It's a dangerous thing. And so when he focuses us on that fruit that God said don't eat, then the fruit becomes something else. And our faith dies. Verse 7. Okay, let's leave verse 7 alone. Then he will argue against the word of God. He will argue. He will raise things that will show you that this thing is not going to work. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle. Subtle. Genesis 3 from verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to this woman, has God indeed what? Said. Come on, man. Did God say you are healed? Look at the symptoms. Look at what you're facing. Did they say by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed? You are laughable. See, you're about to die, my friend. I'm telling you what you tell him. Say, watch this thing. And if you don't understand, this is cancer, just in case you don't. It is cancer of whatever he chooses to call. And about that time, your heart starts skipping. So he says, now the serpent was more cunning, and so he said, has God indeed what? Said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Then the next one. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Serpent. Then, but this fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then he now comes the enemy. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He will argue against the word of God. Again, because we are not conscious of these things, he's having a field day. We don't know that we're having conversation with the arch enemy that wants to steal your stuff, that wants to stop you from your prayer being successful. That is the devil talking. We just open your mind. Just be thinking all manner of thinking it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Are you serious? The issues of your life is coming from there, and the man is scuttling everything. Didn't the Bible say, as a man thinketh his heart? So he's trying to make you think, and that's what tell you thinking is how you end up. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I don't know any time that God wants to do something that the devil hasn't come to talk to. I don't know anything. Including this Bible study. Everything. Every time I start praying for somebody, he will tell you they won't be healed. He said, watch them, they won't be healed. He'll be talking to you. Praise the Lord, church. You know, we naturally, and I want you to listen to this, we naturally have the tendency to think natural thoughts. It's our natural, we are comfortable in that area. We naturally are comfortable with natural reasonings, natural crunching of numbers. You know, this thing is like this naturally. And then you show, because it's this naturally, therefore this is the natural conclusion. That's our natural way of thinking. And the devil knows that. That's where he wants you to be. Because he knows that the flesh profited nothing. So he keeps you there. Profits you nothing in prayer. Profits you nothing after prayer. That thought is flesh. It's carnal. It's not from God. It won't overcome the world. The only thing that overcomes the world is the things that are from God. This one is not from him. But we are naturally comfortable there. Because sometimes it makes sense. And sometimes, you know, it helps your pity party that you want to have. So it's like, you know, yeah, I said it. See, that's my own. I'm telling you, it's my own. Because it supports that. And you agree with it because you don't see how. You have been blinded. The reason you don't see how is blinded you. But Jesus is the way. Praise the Lord. And so we fill ourselves with all these wrong thoughts. And then the prayer we pray becomes to fulfill all, right? Because in our mind, we really don't believe anything will come out of it. I want to make a statement here. There is no prayer that prayed in faith that doesn't produce results. In fact, let me say it again. Any action of faith produces results. The power of God follows faith. It follows faith. Anywhere faith, faith draws it like magnet. Like magnet. Prayer. Anytime things are not working for me, I start checking where my faith is not correct. I start adjusting it. Just adjusting it. I start asking the Lord, where am I missing this thing? Where am I missing this thing? I'm missing this thing somewhere. It's not your fault. It's me. Where am I getting it wrong? Because I know that if I connect you by faith, your power flows immediately. And immediately I see that I have peace. Palm, I connected, the thing is off. I don't even think about it again. It's gone, it's gone. And it usually works 100% of the time. It has never failed, won't fail. Let's look at James chapter 1, 6. James chapter 1. But let him ask in what? Can we read it together, please? One, two, go. Let's go. But let him ask. No. I want to hear you. But let him ask. Everybody, let's say it. Let him ask. That's important. That's important. You cannot look down on this. Unless you are not interested in the answer. Let him ask in faith. With no. So if the enemy shows doubt, this scripture, you are violating it. Because you are no more asking with no doubting. For he who doubts is like what? Wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now what, let me ask you, how do you receive something where you are tossed? You are very unstable. That's why you can't take anything from God. You can't receive. He didn't say God won't give, but you can't receive it from him. You can't receive. Can't receive. The next verse says, verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive. The man can't receive anything from the Lord. Nothing. I mean, when we read scriptures like this, how come that we don't really take them serious? We think God is joking, or it's not with me, it's a different thing. I really don't understand. How we take this Bible as, is it something that we read to fulfill our righteousness, or is it the truth? Is it really the truth? If it's the truth, if I read something like this, I should be very serious about it. And make sure that I'm asking in faith, and making sure that there's no doubt here. Because these are the conditions. Not if I want an answer. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear. I need time here, please. Time. I don't have time. Is it possible to put up time? Please. And Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Let us fear. Lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us all, as well as to them, but the word which they had did not profit them, not being mixed again with what? Faith in those that had it. If the word we hear is not mixed with faith, if we don't receive it and act on it in faith, it will profit us nothing. All the promise of prayer, ask and it shall be. If you don't receive these things with faith, it will not work for me. It will work for you. There's no magic about this. There's no magic about this. Mark 6:5. Can you still find the hour minutes I've used? Is it possible? I can cook up one for you. I'm from Lagos, remember? Mark chapter what? 6:5. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there. Why? except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. Verse 6 explained it. Verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their. Now, if the enemy will plant unbelief in my heart, then God can do no mighty work. As simple as that. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Matthew 8:5. Let's look at some people that received. Matthew 8:5. Okay, fine. Matthew 8:5. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Verse 8. Continue. Verse 8. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, we caught something. Verse 7. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8. The man had other ideas. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now verse 9. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 11. And I said to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed. That's him. Leave that scripture there. Leave that verse there. As you have believed, so let it be done to you. What is Jesus saying? The answer comes according to your faith. And what did the man say? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be. And so Jesus said, okay, I'm speaking the word. That's what you believe. That's what's happening. It's a simple thing. He said, let's read it again. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way now. And as you have believed now, since you believe that I speak the word, your servant shall be healed. He said, let it be done for you. And that his servant was healed. Why? Jesus said, let it be done to you as you believe. Jesus spoke the word. The man said, all I speak the word, it will happen. So he spoke the word and it happened. Because he believed it. Now, if something came and showed unbelief or doubt in him, and he's saying, well, speak the word, maybe. What you get is maybe. What you get is what? Maybe. I like it in New Living Translation. Let's read verse 13 in New Living Translation, if you can pull it there. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. You know, I cannot believe for you. Neither can you believe for me. It's your own faith. It's what you believe. That's why I keep pleading for you people here. Develop your faith. Stop playing religion. You are cheating yourself. Develop. It's your faith you used to receive from God. It's your faith that is your shield. It's your faith. It's your faith that is the Christian life. The just shall live by his what? His faith. The Bible says, and on faith we stand. It's faith that keeps you. Develop it. Grow in it. Study. Oh no, we're too busy. Too busy. Too busy, too busy, too busy, too busy. And then we lose. We lose. Because we don't see the power of God. We lose. A lot of things that should be happening in our lives is not happening. Because our faith is not developed. The enemy is always. And then we do all these carnal things. Carnal programs. We just go for carnal. Most of the time pursuing this of this.
planning what to do, how to do this, how to do that, how to do this. Where is God in it? I don't know, I don't know. And you still don't know. Okay, God doesn't know where you are. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. How many of you were here Sunday morning? Sunday morning? Did you hear this girl's testimony? He said, I don't apply for jobs anyhow. He said, I don't do that. I go to God and say, where do you want me to work? And that's why I apply and work on it. He said, I don't do that. He said, I don't send too many applications. Just bothering myself. Because I know God has a place for me. That's faith in God. Trusting God to guide you in life. And if you heard her testimony, how God gave her this, that job, and how the money, he said, the title is not important. What is important is the money, and I'm going to be checking her tithe myself. Don't mind me, I don't check anything, I'm just joking. I don't know if, am I communicating anything? I want us to, this is not joking matter, take this thing seriously. Because this will disconnect you from your answers. And then if you don't have the answers, do you have any other place this answer will come from? Do we really have any other source? Do we really have any other source? What does anybody gain from continuous challenge? Continuous. What gain is there? If it can be solved, why don't you get God solved and move on to another something else? What do we gain? Why do we gain? And all it takes is come and learn. Matthew 9:27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then touched their eyes, saying again, what did he say to them? According to your faith, let it what? The same thing he told the centurion, he told this man, he's telling me, he's telling you. No respect to a person. He said, this is the way it works. If you believe, you got it. If you don't believe, then he teaches it in Matthew 11:22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubts in your heart. He said, when you pray, pray with faith. Don't have doubt. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, then it will be yours. He said, you can speak to the mountain. If you don't have doubt, it will work. The thing that will stop it working is doubt. And that's what the devil wants to plant in our heart. To plant doubt. Plant unbelief. And the way he will do it is to focus you on your problem. And make you hear things that is not from God. Make you hear a report that is not from God. And make you know you. And once you start hearing those things that is not from God, you can't have faith from them. It will kill your faith right away. They can talk, but you can block them out. Praise the Lord. Talking, they will talk. But you must what? The Bible said this, the voice of the stranger you must not hear. So, there's something I want to say here. And please, listen to me. The time of seeking the Lord, the time of prayer, please, everybody listen to me. The time of prayer and seeking the Lord is not just prayer that you do. That's why we miss it again. It's not just prayer that we do. Praying like a house on fire. It's not prayer you do. The time of seeking the Lord and praying is also the time of studying the Bible. It's also the time of what? Studying to reinforce your faith, because something is trying to put doubt, you reinforce it. It's a time of study. It's a time of serious study. You cannot do without the other. When you want to seek the Lord, get your Bible. Get your Bible and begin to study what the Bible says about the things that you are praying about. Begin to read how God answers people's prayer. I heard of somebody who said, he said I said I prayed for years and didn't have too much success. Then I started studying on the name of Jesus that I use in prayer. He said, I started studying on the name of Jesus. I said, I pray in the name of Jesus. He says, I started studying. He said, all of a sudden, my eyes popped. Pwah! He said, the same, this is a pastor who was teaching on this thing. He said, the same name I've been using. I didn't know I was not using it in faith. Until I saw the authority in this thing, my eyes popped open. I'm like, wow! Wow! Then I began to use it. I started walking. The time to pray and seek God is a time you must give to studying. The word must go in to build the faith. I'm telling you, people, the truth. Don't pray like the heathens. Second Timothy 2:5. Oh no, John 5:15-7. If you abide in me, and my words what? Abide. If it's conditional. That if these things happen, if they happen, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If, condition is if, abide in me, if you trust me, and let my word abide in you, then you can pray successfully. Because it's by faith you receive this. Then 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. You study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed because you have victory, you have answers, you have fullness of joy, you have testimony. That's what he's saying. You have to study. If you don't want to be ashamed, you need to study. And not just study, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. And when you want to seek God for things, that's when you get your Bible. Start studying. This name of Jesus I use in prayer. Let me even study about it. Lord, open my eyes. I want to know. I want to really have understanding about the authority of this name that I'm using. So that I'll not be using it as Pentecostal language. And it's not working. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh, what? Faith cometh by, let me read for you amplified, I love it. It says, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So faith comes from hearing from God. You hear from God. That's why the time of prayer and seeking God is that's why I say don't focus too much on the food you didn't eat. Take the much you can hand that will allow you to be able to study and concentrate. Because at the end of the day, it is your faith. What did I say? It's your faith. If you are so hungry, you are dizzy, you can't do anything, you are lying around, you can't study. The word you need to study, you are not studying. The prayer you need to do, you are not even doing. And everybody that sees you is asking you, are you sick? I say, well, I didn't want to tell you before. But you know, I'm fasting in our church. In fact, 14 days. How many are you people fasting in your own? Oh, we do 30. Hey, praise the Lord, you do 30. Maybe I'll join you after our own. You know, there are people like that. They finish this one, they join this one, and they join this one, and they join this one. That's not how you get things from God. That's not how you get things from God. That's not how. Let him ask in faith, not in doubting. You don't have to join. The one you do is enough. 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He's telling us how to study the Bible. That we need, we have a, can you put New Living Translation? Maybe that way. Because of that experience we have, ever greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets, you must pay close attention to what they wrote. You must pay what? You must read the Bible with close attention for what they wrote. For their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until, brethren, there is an until. Oh, there is an until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your heart. There is an until. I'm not kidding you. There is a time when the word enters. And when it enters, you will know. Nobody will tell you. Faith will come. The difference is like day and night. Until it enters, you'll be praying in doubt. And don't think because you know the scripture, you talk about it, you tell people that you have faith. No. No, sir. I'm telling you from what I've experienced. No, sir. You need to go back again. Because this, our mind, is always trapping things along as we live our lives. A lot of things is always bombarding our minds. So we need to go back and take the word again. Take the word again to shine and shine and shine and displace all these things. We need to. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy word giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding. Psalm 119:30 tallies with what Peter is saying. It tallies. Can you put it up or you can't get it? Psalm 130. The teaching of your word gives light, so even simple can understand it. Now, give it New King James. Let me see New King James. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Brethren, the time of seeking the Lord. Let me tell us again. If you really want to see results, don't joke with the scripture. Go back and seek the Lord again until that word. See, what I do is, you see, even in studying scripture, I'm not in a hurry. Oh, brethren, I don't want to go where I'm picking fruits and I'm picking nothing. I want to make sure I pick something. I don't want to pick something. So I'm not ever in a hurry. I will study it. I said to the Lord, I don't understand this. I'll stay on a verse sometimes for 2 days. I'm not going anywhere. I said, Lord, you need to talk to me about this. Because unless I have this entrance, I wasted my time. And when it comes like a flood. When it comes, I can't write enough. I am getting references, this scripture, this what I said there, this how it relates to your life, this how it relates to your life. And when I'm done with that, I have faith to pray. Immediately, I have faith to pray. And I start praying. Once I pray, I know that the answer is there. Praise the Lord. You know, let me even give you one example. I was praying for, you know, Kenichuku when he was very small. He was having a heart issue while he was passing blood. So we went to hospital and they couldn't fix it. And then what I did was, I knew that by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. But I didn't walk on presumption. I opened that scripture. For 3 days, I read nothing. I will read it, walk up and down. I will kneel down and be reading it. I will stand up, I'll read it. I will read it up, read it down. I read nothing. Brethren, God my witness. I focused on this thing. I said, this word has to enter. Because when it enters, faith will come to deal with this. And on the third day, I opened that scripture before me. I knelt down. I was kneeling down reading it. All of a sudden, God spoke to me. He said, you know who is doing that? I said, yes, Lord. He said, deal with it. Man, you couldn't stop me. Because faith had come ahead from God to deal with it. And I got up and I called the boy. You know, the family were family meeting. I said, "Can if you pray now, what will you?" I said, "Daddy, if you pray, the thing will go." We started to worship God for healing. Boom, that was the end. We didn't even pray. Just worshiping, because faith had come. Brother, I'm telling you, once faith comes, power follows it. No more till today. Nothing. Praise the Lord. You want answer? Follow the Bible. Don't follow religious things people do. People who take time to study the Bible and follow instruction, they want to all this thing, cock all human of stuff in their head, and I do normal of religious stuff. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask anything." Peter said, "Take heed to that which is written, until it shines in." And the scripture said, "The entrance of that word brings light and gives understanding." So that light shines. That darkness that the devil is bringing, that doubt he's trying to plant, that thing he's telling you is cancer, telling you is this, then all of a sudden you have this boldness, this understanding, this reality that the name of Jesus crushes that thing. And you go in that faith, I say in the name of Jesus, stop that thing, the thing stops immediately. And when you pray in that name by faith, the answer is sure. You don't even have to ask Pastor, did it happen? You don't have to ask anybody. You are sure that today is Thursday. You don't have to ask. You know it. If you don't get to that level, the enemy will be planting all this doubt, and then you'll be calling, you'll find him from this man, this doctor. Is it this? It's not that. Is it that? Is it that? That. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When you know, and you know that you've got this notebook, nobody is talking to you about notebook. Okay. Because you know you have it. You don't even talk about it again. Got it. Say, did you see it? No. Because you see, what we're talking about is the things that are revealed to your spirit. The reality of the things that you know is not physical things. But the devil wants to bring you to physical things, to walk by sight. And he has a lot of people that will come and help him. But the Bible, the word of God, will take you to spiritual truth. And the Holy Spirit will open the reality to your eyes. And that's the thing you should believe. Because that is the foundation of your faith that overcomes. And then somebody said, did you see it? You don't have to see it. Let me tell you, when faith comes, you have no time. You don't have time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we don't have time to what? Talk about this thing. My friend. We don't have time for it. He said, don't deal. I'm not interested in it. It's over. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The Bible says, he that believeth speaks. It will come in your mouth. Come in your attitude. Come in. When you talk with confidence because you know who you believe. You know what has happened. It's over. And the devil doesn't mess with somebody who has a sword called the word of God. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything? Before I go, what? You are so excited. You want to ask questions? You want them more? You can follow me home. Let me tell again, before I go, before Pastor comes up, Pastor will lead us in some time of worship or prayer. Whatever, Pastor, whatever God leads you do here, anything God leads you do here, feel free. Before I go, I want to remind us what I said. The time of prayer and seeking the Lord is not just prayer. It's also time studying your word. You got to get your Bible. Find the scriptures on that thing you're praying about. So let me even know what God said about this thing now. Because every situation in life has some scriptures about it. Lord, okay, if you don't know, you say, Lord, what scriptures will I now study? God will show you. And they start studying them. Don't study a whole lot. Just take a few that directs your heart. Like pinpoint. Pee on that thing. Focus on it with lesser. Focus, because you are engaged in a fight. Focus on it until the thing bursts into your spirit. Ooh, you will know. You won't need pastor to tell you. You get up from there, your eyes is shining with boldness. And when you pray that prayer and step out of there, you know it's done. And the answer will normally come there.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.